Assalamu alaikum, productive Muslimas. So good to be here with you today. I'm Wigdan Rashad, the podcaster from productivemuslim.com. And man, do I have a topic for you today. So the last 10 days of Ramadan are coming up, alhamdulillah. What a beautiful opportunity to get spiritual, to get close to God, especially if you've experienced that mid-Ramadan slump. I don't know if you have, but I sure did, and I'm getting ready for the last 10 days. So for you lovely ladies who are actually making iftar meals, suhoor meals, and just generally making food for the family, I don't know if you guys are going through the experience of being just a little tired now, maybe running out of ideas, and just basically needing some time for spirituality. What do we do about that? And if you're experiencing this, I feel you. Yes, so I got in touch with Sister Yvonne from myhalalkitchen.com, and she basically set up this wonderful website that talks about all things about halal cooking, whether it be sharing recipes or talking about tips for making healthy meals, kitchen tips, food industry, all these things. She's also the author of the Summer Ramadan Cooking Book, and it was published in 2011. I really recommend that you check her blog out, inshallah. So I asked her the question, what advice would you give to the busy sisters out there who have the responsibility of making iftar and need advice on making healthy, delicious, yet not so time-consuming meals?
Well, I think, you know, we have a lot of challenges right now, right? I mean, a lot of the Muslim world is in summer, not all of it, obviously. But a lot of us, you know, who are fasting, we're dealing with a really long summer fast, and it's hot. And that kind of makes everybody a little nervous, because if you miss suhoor, you're in big trouble. If you don't eat the right foods, you're kind of in trouble too, because you don't want to feel so horrible. I mean, that isn't the point of Ramadan. And it's also not the point to stuff yourself so much that you are like, oh, this is so easy breezy, right? I mean, there needs to be that balance. And I think that on top of that, I think a lot of people are feeling a little bit guilty about having food to even have iftar and suhoor, considering so many people suffering right now and going through hardships that are so much worse. So like, I feel like we're all kind of bombarded with these things that are, you know, in our minds. And I know that from the comments I'm getting on our Facebook page, it's like, we're reluctant to talk about food, but at the same time we have to eat. So we should share those tips and inspiration, right? And still keep people who are less fortunate in our du'as all the time. So I think the thing that's kind of the most helpful is to just simplify. I mean, we want to simplify for many reasons. I mean, economical reasons, not to waste food. But also when you start to simplify your meals, you're just making it easier for yourself to eat healthier and to have less confusion in your kitchen, in your refrigerator, in your mind, on your shopping list. And so I just focus on having a protein, having a carb, having vegetables, and having fruit. And that sounds kind of like a lot, but it's really not. I mean, if you're considering one form of protein, whether it's beans if you're a vegetarian or you don't want to make meat that day, or it's chicken or beef or lamb or something else, you know, make sure that's there, because protein is going to help you not lose muscle when you're fasting. And it's going to, you know, give you that little surge of energy that you're going to need, right? Mm-hmm. But carbs are also good too, not too much of them, but you actually need a little bit of carb to get through too. So whether it's bread or rice or couscous, you know, keep it simple for that week. I mean, whether it's like during Ramadan, sometimes I do, you know, I'm going to have chicken for 2 days or 3 days straight, just because we're going to deal with lots of leftovers or whatever. But we're also going to have rice for that time, or the rest of the week, it's going to be couscous. I mean, I kind of just use it up until it's done. I mean, bigger families, that's harder to do because they're making something different every day. But depending on your family situation, and then just make sure there's some form of vegetable and there's some form of fruit. And that kind of, it fills you up. It you look at the plate, it's healthy, it's colorful.
Great. So what we do is try to keep it simple as much as possible. Think about having a balanced meal, and let's be creative with the leftovers. I'm sure if you sit down for a couple of minutes, you can come up with 1,000 things you could do with that leftover chicken. She gave me a really nice example about watermelons and how she could be creative with it.
There's always watermelon on the table. I can do a million different things with watermelon. I can put it in a salad. You can eat it plain. I can throw it into a drink, which I make, which is like the best thing ever for breaking our fast, which is a strawberry and watermelon. I call it a cooler because it basically I use frozen strawberries and some fresh watermelon, and you don't even need any water because there's so much water in the watermelon. So you basically are drinking, something that's hydrating. You're getting very refreshed. So I don't really make these elaborate plans like I used to. I used to really, go all out, but now I just keep it really simple by going with what we like, what's seasonal, and what's fresh. And then I stick to that for a few days, and then I change after a few days because I give myself a little break as well. So you kind of have to prepare for that sort of 3 day or 4 day, however long you're going to have those meals. And then you won't feel as tired, about starting over again. I've seen big families go way out. We were at an iftar this weekend where there were probably 50 people, and the women in the kitchen were just amazing. I mean, but at the same time, even though there were so many people, they still had a lot of leftovers. So it's like the next day, okay, take a glance at that refrigerator. What can you make with those leftovers? Chances are that no matter what you put in front of fasting people in your house, they're going to be okay with it because they're hungry,
It's true.
and doing your best. But the main thing is just keeping the menu really as simple as possible. You have to remember that people aren't looking for, gourmet meals or hotel style meals, just looking to have something that's going to be nutrient dense and it's going to fill the stomach. Because all the processed stuff and all the junk isn't going to do it, right? So what I've realized too is I don't ask too many questions anymore about what does everybody want. I just, I kind of take into consideration what works and go with that.
So preparation, productive Muslimas. Sometimes you'll just have to sit down and plan out what you're going to do for the rest of the week. I think that's a great idea to get us organized, especially in the last 10 days, inshallah. So I asked her the next question, which was all about creativity during Ramadan. You know when you leave bread out for too long, it kind of goes stale. That's what happens to our creativity, especially in the kitchen sometimes. So how do we come up with interesting ideas for Ramadan iftars?
Well, I think that the internet is a valuable tool, and as much as people want to fast from it during Ramadan, I mean, use it for what good it can offer. And I think when it comes to recipe inspiration, that's a great place to look. I mean, of course, I'm going to say, go to my Hell's Kitchen, you're going to get lots of ideas, but there's also Pinterest and other recipe sites that you can go to for what do you, look at what you have in your refrigerator or what's going to be easy. For example, when my husband's coming home from work, I give him I text him a list of groceries that I need, things that need to be filled up in the refrigerator because I can't get out of the house or I'm busy, but it's easy for him to come, on his way. So I'll say, for example, pick up potatoes or pick up watermelon or something, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do with those things? Because I'm going to complement whatever I have in the fridge. I'm going to think of a new way to use that watermelon. For example, yeah, we were getting a little tired of having it just cut up, but then I decided to go with a salad and added some feta cheese and olive oil and some herbs, and it became a whole new dish based on just some looking around for recipe ideas. I looked through magazines, I looked at Pinterest. Type in watermelon. Go to myhellokitchen.com and type in watermelon. You're going to see different ways that I use it in recipes too. So, it's just a matter of what do you have already, but what can you do differently with it? When it comes to fruits and some vegetables, I mean, you can really make a lot of interesting drinks with those too for suhoor, even at iftar time. I mean, I had a combination I never really thought I would do, but it turned out fabulous, which was mango, pineapple, spinach and strawberry, and I made a smoothie out of that. And you might think, oh, spinach, oh, yuck, but and all those health experts are like, add greens to your drinks. But this was a fabulous, fabulous drink, and I can't believe, how everyone gobbled it up when I made it. But it was, what happened was I went all out shopping before Ramadan, buying a ton of fruit, and then I said, oh my God, I have to have room in my freezer, and I really and I this year, because I just moved recently, I'm still kind of getting my bearings on the size of the things that I have in my appliances. And so I didn't realize that I don't have a lot of room like I used to. So I thought, what am I going to do with all this fruit other than cut it up and then figure out where to put it? But I started just experimenting with different drink recipes. And you know, that was one way that I used up a whole lot of fruits that are perfect in Ramadan in the summer, right? You have your pineapple, your mango, your strawberries. So putting them all together, you'd be surprised at the combinations they can make. You could easily, instead of throwing them into the blender, that could have been a great salad, even with the spinach. You know, you could add fresh strawberries. And you know, some people, I think sometimes we just don't think out of the box because we're so stressed about getting the meal on the table. So it helps to kind of just take a moment and just maybe do nothing for just 5 minutes and think, okay, this is what I have in my fridge. Let me just be creative for a second, because when we're tired and we're hungry and we're stressed out, our creativity goes right out the window. And a lot of cooking is creativity. It's thinking, you know, how to make something beautiful and presentable and delicious. That's what stresses people out about cooking, because they see all these glamorous shots of food in magazines and websites, and they want their food to look like that too. And it's in reality, it's not always going to turn out like that. But if you just get some color on your plate for your family, I mean, most of the time people will be really happy and they'll say, "Oh wow, mom, this is a totally different recipe," when really you just took things from the refrigerator and arranged them in a different way. You know what I mean? So it's about looking at the ingredients, you know, even shutting everybody out for 5 to 10 minutes and saying, you know, give me some time to think here for a minute. You just have to regroup and you'd be amazed at what you can do.
I got a question for you. Could cooking and preparing iftar become a spiritual experience? In Islam, it's known that anything that we do with good intention could be a form of ibadah, even going to sleep. So could cooking be a form of worship? I asked her this question.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, from my understanding, preparing foods for fasting people is a form of ibadah. And in Ramadan, I mean, we're not supposed to, for example, sleep all day, right? That doesn't help. But if you, I was just reading about this recently that, and I can't cite the exact source, but inshallah, it's correct, is that if you need to take a nap before your iftar to help you keep your fast, then it's a form of ibadah. You're resting your body, you're trying to keep your fast. I mean, Islam is so easy, alhamdulillah. And Ramadan is not meant to harm our bodies or harm our spirituality. So I think if we look at everything that we're doing for the intentions of which they're done, I mean, we can direct that to Allah to say, you know, please accept this as a form of ibadah. And when it comes to preparing foods, I mean, how many women are not fasting for, you know, correct purposes, right? And still getting up for suhoor to make sure their families eat, and still preparing iftar for guests at home and family at home. I mean, I keep thinking about the iftar I went to this weekend because there were so many people at this home, and there were 5 or 6 women in the kitchen making the most amazing food. And you know what I noticed about them is they had a smile on their face. I talked to them. I was probably interrupting them what they were doing, but they catered to my questions and they were smiling. And you know, I don't know if all of them were fasting, but I'm sure probably at least one of them was fasting, right? And they just didn't seem troubled or bothered or whatever they were feeling, frustrated, you know, whatever, they did not show it. And subhanAllah, how many people would really take that approach out of Ramadan or out of, you know, the Islamic context? You know, people get frustrated about cooking for family and frustrated about dealing with shopping and stuff. These people, what I noticed was, you know, having that smile on their face, it made me as a guest feel at ease and didn't feel like I was burdening them. And I
Mashallah.
think that is huge when people feel happy to be in your home. I mean, inshallah, Allah accepts everything from them and all the people who are preparing food for families and guests, because it is a form of worship. from my understanding, that is, you are helping people enjoy delicious, homemade, you know, prepared in your home food for the fasting person. And so that's huge. I mean, when we sit down to take a bite out of that meal, I mean, we're not really thinking too much about it, who made it and all that, but we should be. We should be thanking them. We should be making dua for them, because that was not easy. When I'm at home with just my husband and I, and I've already prepared the foods, I have the luxury of like laying down, taking a 20-minute nap before iftar. And a lot of times, middle of Ramadan, I do that because I'm starting to get tired. But if you don't have that luxury, that's a huge sacrifice. You're so tired, you know, your eyes are half open.
Yeah.
You know, headache, you don't want to talk.
Oh, it's so
you
true.
It's just, so there's so much wisdom behind what is in Ibadah. And I really do feel like there's a total spirituality for it. Because would we really do it for humans if it were just that? You know, probably not. We are looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're thinking in our minds, you know, okay, I hope I get reward for this, you know. And it's,
yes.
I mean, it's just human nature, right? It's human nature. So Allah is so wise. Alhamdulillah, we have this knowledge to fall back on and say, there's a reason why this is all being done and a greater purpose. So it helps keep our attitudes and our moods in check, I think, you know, because how many times in Ramadan do we think we want to say something, we want to make a remark or comment or complain? We're like, oh, it's Ramadan, you know, I should really hold back. We all do it, right? We all do it, try to be extra nice. And hopefully those habits will overflow into the you know, months outside of Ramadan. But definitely, inshallah, Allah accepts this as ibadah from us.
Hey, so next time you go into that kitchen, take a deep breath, make your intentions clear, and cook with a smile. Because inshallah, everything that you do and you making preparing food for fasting people is a wonderfully blessed form of worship. So, ladies, that about rounds it up for today's interview. I hope you guys benefited from it. So, let's try to keep it simple, stay creative, prepare well before you start. As the Productive Muslim motto says, have good intentions and work hard. It's been great having you guys with us today. Please check out myhalalkitchen.com for wonderful recipes and ideas for Ramadan. If you get the chance to buy her book, Summer Ramadan Cooking, do check it out. And that's about me for today. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.